ADHD wasn't causing a problem in my day-to-day work as a primary care provider. My brain just sort of, I own the way that my brain works, and I love myself, and I have this journey for me of not just accepting who I am and how, the tendency that my brain has to do certain things, but really just like loving that part of myself and knowing that's part of who I am.
Hi, welcome to Beyond ADHD, a Physician's Perspective podcast. I am your host, Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine doc with ADHD, practicing in a rural setting in Texas. I am a mother to two very energetic toddlers who are 3 and 4 years of age. And in the past year, I have undergone radical transformation after discovering ADHD coaching and life coaching. For the past decade, my typical day consisted of having 300 charts backlog, a graveyard of unfinished projects, and a lack of time awareness. I didn't realize that I was not filling my own cup. I was running on fumes. The last year, I figured out the secret. Learn to stay in your lane. So now my mission is to help others develop systems that tap into their zone of genius so they too can reclaim their personal lives back like I have.
So I created this podcast to show people that ADHD really is lifelong and that the people I'm bringing are awesome physicians who are going to share with you their wins and their challenges and some tips and ways how they are overachieving in life. So my aim is to stop the mental stigma associated with this disease and to remember that, it's not ADHD is just not just our kids, but it's also us as adults, and we are here to provide that service to you today. So before introducing a wonderful physician to you, I have to disclose that little disclaimer. While me and my guest are medical doctors, we are not your medical doctors. So please do not substitute any advice that we share here today with those of your own physicians, therapists, or coaches. So any advice that you do learn here, please remember that those are our own views and opinions, okay? They're not meant to represent anybody that we are employed by, any hospital, or any particular healthcare system or organization. Whew, that was a handful, but my lawyer made me say that. Okay, on to the exciting things. Today we are going to meet with Dr. Emily Shaw, and let me see if she can introduce herself. Dr. Emily Shaw, please tell us all the things.
Hi. So I'm Emily Shaw. I'm a family doc in Sonoma County in Santa Rosa, California, and I am a life coach for community-minded docs. And that's a little bit about me. I also have ADHD, and just like anybody else, I've had it since I've was a very little kid, and have had many different experiences along the way, but I'm proud of who I am today and what I've been accomplishing and what I've been doing to help our community and to help my peers. And honestly, being a coach now for docs who really care about service and who are really service driven has honestly been now one of the most fulfilling things I've done.
That's awesome. Dr. Shaw, when were you diagnosed? Did you kind of already feel like you perceived that you might have something that was maybe a little bit more different than your classmates? Like, were you a child or were you a teenager, or what did you, do you remember?
Yeah, for me, my sort of diagnosis journey was, because I also have a reading disorder. So it's like, what people used to call dyslexia. And so I think my parents were always concerned growing up in school that I was a very slow, like I didn't learn to read until much after a lot of my peers. And when I did learn to read, I was super slow. And reading out loud was always something that I was a little bit embarrassed about in school growing up. I wasn't the as much, I guess my parents would maybe say that I was a little hyperactive, but I don't know that I met the hyperactive criteria for the diagnosis. I've always been like super extroverted person. So I was always like bubbly and, you know, that kind of thing. But I have more of the inattention type. So my parents didn't actually get me formally tested until I was in high school. And at the end of high school, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember the whole process. It was like 3 days. It was very interesting for me as you know, slightly older person being tested. It was really an interesting process to go through. And I was always in like the gate classes, like the gifted and talented classes growing up and everything. So I always had been able to compensate to a certain degree, like just by, I guess working harder, you know, or reading things over and over and over and over and over again, and like literally highlighting. Oh my gosh, all my textbooks growing up were like highlighted in like 5 different colors because I needed to use the highlighter in order to like actually read it, you know. And then yeah. I have to highlight like the part that was important. Oh my gosh.
So did you happen to have a system with your highlighters? Like, was blue like meaning one thing, or red means something? Yeah.
Yes, I totally had that. It was the yellow was just to like read. And then it was the pink or the blue or the orange that was like the actually something more important. And then I would underline it if it was even more important.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I actually did the same thing unaware that I was trying to help my brain. So like I would use a green one for anything, like when I was studying for medical school, the green one was anything like positive or good. The red was anything negative. And I would try to make like list of things like opposites to each other so that I could spatially remember the information, but the color was what would like trigger the memory. It was so weird, but our brains just work a little bit differently, right? And we find tricks of how to enhance it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't diagnosed until I was a little older and just sort of like worked out my own coping things. And I started using medication when I was in college or maybe senior year of high school. I think it was actually in college. So I remember that it was like, I went to Brown. It was the school psychiatrist that I met with.
How did you, did the medication work? Did you have to try different ones in order for you to feel like that was doing?
Oh, I felt super lucky because I only tried 2 things. I only tried 1 thing before then. I tried another thing that ended up being the thing that worked. And so for me, I tried Adderall first. It like made me so dry. I couldn't even, it was like, whoa. And interrupted my sleep too much. And actually the second thing that I tried was the methylphenidate, the Ritalin, and even at relatively low doses, it actually was working well for me and a short acting pill, because I found that for me personally, I didn't like the medication definitely worked. Like I could feel it kick in and I could like then concentrate on what I was reading and actually like pay attention in class. Which, you know, my classmates were shocked at how much I didn't know. They'd be like, oh, so-and-so, like the teacher said this. And I'd be like, I don't remember that at all. it was shocking how when I would take it, I would like actually know what they said. And then when I didn't, I was missing like half the lecture. But I love that instead of taking a long acting thing, I could take something short acting so I could be, you know, more myself. You know, when I didn't feel like I needed it. So that's what helped for me, you know, even like 10 milligrams was, I think what I took for a while, through residency. And, but I haven't actually taken any medication for a long time. I only use it for myself now. Like if I have to study for the boards or sit there for the boards test on the computer for like a million hours.
So what strategies are you using to cope? Are you doing exercise? Do you have to plan? Yeah. What are you using?
I mean, I don't know like how scientific this is, but honestly, I've really felt like two major things for me have made a difference. One is that I actually switched jobs. So, I mean, before it wasn't, my ADHD wasn't causing a problem in my day-to-day work as a primary care provider. But what I found challenging was that like getting my notes done, not because of a time thing or anything, but just like, you know, my reading stuff, like reading through documents or different little things were just sort of piling up. And not because of like what everybody else, not everybody else, but like a lot of the common things that other people experience, like there's just not enough time to do this, or like I've just never been efficient. I've never, like my brain just sort of, I own the way that my brain works, and I like, and I love myself, and I have this journey for me of not just accepting who I am and how, you know, the tendency that my brain has to do certain things, but really just like loving that part of myself and knowing that's part of who I am. The me switching out of primary care and actually not having like the in-basket stuff and the notes to write in the same sort of way, and working in a more acute care setting where the visits are targeted, has made that a lot easier for me. So like I'm getting home on time, and I, right, there's like things don't weigh on me. And I have two little kids. I have my older daughter is turning 5 next week, and my younger daughter is 2. And so switching to like a shift job in an acute care setting where things are really narrowed and focused was really great for me. The other thing that has been really great, I think, but I don't actually know like what the evidence is that we're like a whole foods, plant-based diet sort of family. And I really do, my experience has been that I'm a lot more clear generally, yeah. if I eat healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you are highlighting how you understand how your brain works or what's your tendencies, and you're using those strengths, right? You, administrative work sometimes can be boring for us, and repetitive stuff can be boring for us. So you have found a way to use those gifts of like acuity and targeted and to work for you. And at the same time, you're going to share with us about your coaching, how you're doing something that is really driving your passion, which that together really motivates you so that you have a reason, like you said, you have a reason to go to home to your family, right? And you don't want to come home and continue doing in-basket stuff, right? You want to go home and be fully present. And so all that is very important. And there is evidence out there that I've been reading about in the last year that the low sugar diet makes a big difference, because we get so, sometimes we don't realize that we're drinking alcohol or we're eating sugary stuff to try to increase the dopamine in our brain. And when you eat a clearer, healthier plant-based diet or not so much sugar, you are able to, like you said, don't have that brain fog, so you can think better and make better decisions. Yeah, so I think you really are figuring it all out. Can you tell us about your program that you have coming up?
Oh yeah, so I run a 12-week coaching program for, like I said, for community-minded physicians who are looking to sort of improve the way that they experience life. Like, you know, basically, I want people to be able to have it all, you know, that quality life, the balance, the getting home on time, the like all of that, you know, the relationship with their spouse that they want, honestly, the relationship with themselves that they want. And so my program is CME approved. And so people can use CME money for it. And it's a combination of weekly groups and individual one-on-one coaching every week as well. It's called My First 24 because it's like sort of the first 24 hours of the rest of your life. And it's been, like I said before, I mean, like really the most fulfilling and amazing thing that I think I've done professionally, which says a lot because, you know, I was doing primary care for the underserved before, and that like, that filled my cup, you know? But this is so fun and it's so amazing to see people become the person they want to be. And I'm like welling up right now.
Yeah. And it's coming. There's one coming up soon, right?
Yeah. So I just literally started recruitment or like enrollment for this next group that's starting August 29th yesterday. I had my first two consults yesterday. People who want to sign up. So I'm excited about that. But yeah. And the current group is finishing, they're graduating tomorrow. Today's Friday. Yeah. They're graduating tomorrow. So I'm really proud of them and I'm really excited for the next group. And, I also have an alumni program. So it's not just like we have this program and then, you know, I want people to fly, right? I want people to fledge and, you know, but at the same time, it's really helpful for people to have sort of like, continued support in some capacity. So I also have an alumni program for the people after they graduate.
Okay, that's awesome. So what are your big goals in the next 5 years, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Oh, geez.
Or one big goal.
I've been having multiple people asking me about like an in-person retreat. You know, like one of the lovely things about all the virtual stuff that's been going on since COVID has made it so that I thought when I originally was going to be a life coach that I was going to just like help local Sonoma County docs and I was going to have a little office that I could just walk to and like a group space and, you know, be outside. But what has happened now is that like people from Canada are coming to my program. People from all over the country are coming to my program and I'm getting to meet people from all over the place. It's so exciting. But now, so because of that sort of more global sort of thing that's happening or the opportunity that presents itself, so many people want to get together in person. And so one of my goals for the next couple of years is actually putting on, an alumni retreat, like a family retreat. Cause you know, people get to know each other over the course of 12 weeks and they really like each other, you know, and we've become like their little family and we have a, you know, continued community. We have a Facebook community. And so that's one thing I want to do. Another thing I want to do is actually do like for people who actually aren't in the program to do some sort of in-person like weekend thing or something like that. And another goal of mine is to actually work less at my regular job because it's not that I don't want to stop doctoring. I love doctoring. I like really love what I'm doing and the service that I'm providing. But I really love this stuff too. And this has been my hustle year sort of like, you know, I've been doing this now for a little over a year and I don't want to be working 40 hours a week anymore. You know, I'm thriving in it and I love it. And I feel like I'm present with my kids and everything, but I actually don't want to be doing this much.
So Emily, did you go to the life coach school as well?
Yep, I did.
Yeah. So I just completed it in July and I really want to say like in the last year, I feel like going through that process and being coached has really like opened up all kinds of like limiting beliefs that I didn't even know I had, like, and it's been such a growth year. And like, when you say that you go through these courses and you like, most people are like, what are you going to do? Talk about feelings. That's so weird. Right. But you don't realize that your feelings are really coming from that thought that you think it's a fact, right? Because that thought keeps coming up multiple times throughout the day on different things you're doing. And when you start to have somebody hold space for you and tell you, hey, you know, that's just like an opinion, right? Like that's not really true, right? Just because you're thinking it doesn't make it true. All of a sudden, yeah, your world just starts to become like endless possibilities. And like you said, now you are getting to realize you can create your life on purpose by design, right? And mm-hmm. now you're getting to share this with all these people, and they themselves yeah. are having a transformation
yeah.
that ripples, right? It's not that they just change themselves. They change right. how they show up for everybody else around, right?
Yeah. And people can, I mean, the other story here is that like I've wanted to be a life coach for like 13 years, ever since I was in med school. And so like, you know, part of my story is like, you can do what you want to do. Like that dream that you had like on the back burner for a long time that like, you know, maybe isn't as like fancy or sexy as being a doctor to some people, you know, that you can do the thing. And I'm going to make like over $100,000 from coaching this year. And right. Like, and I can make a living as a life coach for docs who like work at community health centers and who, or who are specialists who like really care about the people they're serving. You know, I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
And there's more and more and more of us.
Yeah.
You know, like we are really going to change the culture of medicine.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't know if you had this feeling or not, but at the beginning when I started, like, I would get so nauseated, like, saying out loud how much I was going to charge somebody, right? Uh-huh. But, like, now I've come to realize that, you know, it takes a special type of person to become a life coach because you already know you're going to serve, like you're just going to serve, right? But in the process of earning the money, and even if you give it away to charity, who do you become to become that person, right? And so it's such a beautiful thing that you are doing. And I am so happy that I have a chance to share this with the world. Now, I know people are going to be like, how do I get in touch with Dr. Emily Shaw? Can you give us a webpage or an email so that they can hear about your program?
Sure. So my website is pretty simple. It's like www.emilyshawmd.com. So EmilyShawMD.com. I think that's the easiest way. You know, people can reach out to me via email. Like it's EmilyShawMDcoaching@gmail.com. It's really long. but yeah, so people can reach out to me via email. Like they can look, they can follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. If you're ready to change your world and everybody's world around you, come talk to Emily Shaw. Okay. Thank you again for tuning in. Take care. Bye-bye.
As someone who understands that time is your most valuable asset, I am so honored that you have shared your time with me. Please click the subscribe button and join my Facebook group, Beyond ADHD, A Physician's Perspective, so that you never miss an opportunity to create time at will. Do share this podcast with your friends so they too can learn to live life and stay in their own lane.